Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. William S. Hubbert is the name on eight, count them, eight books. That's the name we first found out about over 22 years ago when he became an original founding member of our Brain Trust. He's a senior professional in human resources and a master of science in industrial relationships. He's Hubbert and Associates is the company we knew him with first. In the meantime, he's become a federal investigator into human resources issues, and he's become a novelist. He's an amazing resource, and we're so happy he's our good friend. Bill, welcome back.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
It's good to have you back. So, most of us enjoyed the series Mad Men on television a few years ago, and I couldn't get enough of it. I loved it because I remember some of those times, and you do too. But one of the things that was going on in those days, 50s, 60s, for example, was a lot of sexual harassment. Since then, there's been a whole lot of sunlight shined on that abuse. And also laws have been passed, laws with teeth. A lot of people have lost their job over misbehaving about that. Is it still going on? Is it still a problem?
I'm going to say yes, it still is. It's you mentioned the laws were passed, and the law that began on this is Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which prohibits sex discrimination. Mm-hmm. But in 1980, it took until that long before the conduct that we now know as sexual harassment was really defined and become a matter that was defined to be against the law. So mm-hmm. in 1980,
that's when they put the teeth in it.
They put some teeth into it. They issued a regulation which attempted to define what it is, and then it began to try to enforce the matter. And
How did they define it? How is it defined?
It's defined as unwanted sexual conduct. That's a key part of it, is that it's unwanted. It's conduct that affects the terms and conditions of the workplace, or it's conduct that creates a hostile environment. So very briefly, those three phrases capture the essence of it. And then as an individual presents their complaint about sexual harassment, they can do that to one of any number of state agencies mm-hmm. or to the federal government with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. And there the investigators look at the conduct that has occurred and try to find out from the charging party what are you complaining about, what prompts your questions, mm-hmm. and then get the employer's side and hear the employer's response and then evaluate that issues. And if there's sufficient evidence to prove a violation, they'll issue a cause.
And that's the reason why a lot of people, a lot of the victims, and we typically think of it as women, a lot of the yes. victims are reluctant to do anything about it because they fear that they'll lose their job, they'll become ostracized. Everybody doesn't hate this person who's the offender. Some people like that person, and they don't realize that, you know, what a scum the person is. And so they're reluctant to report it. That's one of the problems, isn't it? And the process you just described is intended to protect the innocent, because we also know that some people have been accused of things that they were not guilty of.
That's true, and that's been identified as the weaponizing of
yeah.
Me Too, in a
yeah.
sense.
Exactly. And so, but still, it happens. I mean, every woman I know has a sexual harassment story, or at least one.
I would agree with that. Every woman has seen it, heard it, or experienced it. And 70%, from the data that I've looked at, 70% don't report it to the employer. So there's a lot of stuff going yeah. on that the employer doesn't seem to be aware of.
Right.
And yet it's going on throughout the workplace. my feeling as an HR person over the years dealing with companies, dealing with employers, dealing with employees, is that oftentimes you're aware of the person who is doing that, but you tend to look the other way.
Mm-hmm.
You tend to kind of make
well,
no owner,
no business manager over people like that. You know, they don't want to have to deal with it. Nobody wants to have to deal with it.
It is. It's one of these things where there's two sides to a story. But what I used to tell employers is if a woman feels harassed or complains that she's being harassed, she feels harassed, consider that she is. And whatever's happening is conduct. It's past the line that she thinks is reasonable, and it's going to affect the productivity of that individual and others in the workplace if that matter is not addressed.
Well, my attitude is, as an employer, is I don't want anyone who works with me to ever feel unsafe or professionally threatened. No one should have to have that kind of pressure on them at work. There is my responsibility when they come under my roof, and no one should feel that kind of stress or pressure from someone else. And, you know, I mean, you assume that most of the time nothing happens. I think we can say that probably most of the time it's just words and maybe some action, but nothing, you know, it doesn't go as all that far most of the time. But still, that activity, those actions, those words are threats and stress, and nobody should have to deal with that.
That's true, and I would agree with the statement that you've just made. I would encourage small business owners to take that as kind of a model for their how they deal with this issue, because that attitude then sets the tone that others follow. The manager, the executive, sets the lead, and others follow. So if the manager goes along with it and jumps in and joins in with the joking or the laughing or the teasing or whatever that conduct is, and that's where it starts, then that sets the pattern and allows it to continue. On the other hand, if the manager takes a stand like what you have just said, no one has to put up with this, that sets a guideline and a standard that your subordinates aren't going to cross that line and aren't going to affect and harass others.
Well, and I think a lot of managers or a lot of owners say, well, he would never hurt that person, but you're thinking about, you know, something physical, going all the way to physical, but they could hurt another person just by their words or innuendo or insinuations or whatever. That's not good, and it's just not acceptable. You have to stop it there. Quick break, right back with our good friend Bill Hubbard. William S. Hubbard is the name of the book, Drawing a Line. That's his new novel about this topic.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.